The relationship nevertheless survived these episodes for more than 3 years. Jean was Robert's truest love, a friend would later say. He loved her the most. He was devoted to her. And so perhaps it was only natural that Jean's activism and social conscience awakened in Robert the sense of social responsibility that had been so often discussed at the Ethical Culture School. He soon became active in numerous popular front causes. Beginning in late 1936, Oppenheimer would explain to his interrogators in 1954, my interests began to change. I had had a continuing, smoldering fury about the treatment of Jews in Germany. I had relatives there, an aunt and several cousins, and was later to help in extricating them and bringing them to this country. I saw what the Depression was doing to my students. Often they could get no jobs, or jobs which were wholly inadequate. And through them, I began to understand how deeply political and economic events could affect men's lives. I began to feel the need to participate more fully in the life of the community. For a time, he became particularly interested in the plight of migrant farm workers. Avram Yedidia, a neighbor of one of Oppenheimer's students, was working for the California State Relief Administration in 1937-38, when he became acquainted with the Berkeley physicist. He manifested deep interest in the plight of the unemployed, Yedidia recalled, and showered us with questions on work with migrants who came to this area from the Dust Bowl of Oklahoma and Arkansas. Our perception then, which I feel was shared by Oppenheimer, had been that our work was vital and, in the language of today, relevant, while his was esoteric and remote. The Depression had caused many Americans to reconsider their political outlook. Nowhere was this truer than in California. In 1930, 3 out of every 4 California voters were registered Republicans. 8 years later, Democrats outnumbered Republicans by a margin of 2-1. In 1934, the muckraking writer Upton Sinclair nearly won the governorship with his radical platform to end poverty in California, EPIC. That year, The Nation editorialized, if ever a revolution was due, it was due in California. Nowhere else has the battle between labor and capital been so widespread and bitter, and the casualties so large. Nowhere else has there been such a flagrant denial of the personal liberties guaranteed by the Bill of Rights. In 1938, another reformer, Culbert L. Olson, a Democrat, was elected governor with the open support of the state Communist Party. Olson had campaigned under the slogan of a united front against fascism. Although the political left as a whole in California was momentarily mainstream, the California Communist Party was still a tiny minority, even on the various campuses of the University of California. In Alameda County, where Berkeley was located, the party claimed between 500 and 600 members, including 100 longshoremen working in the Oakland shipyards. California communists were generally thought to be a voice for moderation in the National Party. With only 2,500 members in 1936, the state party grew to more than 6,000 by 1938. Nationwide, the Communist Party, USA, had approximately 75,000 members in 1938, but many of these new recruits remained less than a year. All told, during the 1930s, about 250,000 Americans affiliated themselves with the CPUSA for at least a short time.